Luke chapter 11, beginning of the chapter, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Lord, teach us to pray. I want us to consider prayer. I want us to think about the place of prayer, your experience of prayer. I want to start by asking a question. Do you desire to pray? That's what we find with our Lord's disciples here. This question that reveals a desire. Lord, teach us to pray. Do you desire to pray? Is that what you would like to do? To be able to feel that you could speak to God, to address the Lord in a personal and an intimate way. Do you desire to pray, and do you pray? Isn't it true that it's so easy to be so busy that although maybe you have a good intention to pray, that almost everything else seems to get in the way? And almost everything else seems to have a higher priority. And isn't it true that we almost have an expression, which is when you've exhausted every single possibility, you've done everything that you possibly can, and you've come to an end of your own resources, you say, well, at least we can pray. Or there's nothing to do but to pray now. And that which should have been our first priority, which is to call upon God and to ask for his gracious intervention and to call upon him and to ask for him to show mercy, it can become the last thing, the final thing. We pray together as a congregation, don't we? That's a part of our worship service, is that we join together. It's important you understand that when we pray as a congregation, it's not simply the minister praying, or in a prayer meeting, it's not simply those who are called upon who are praying, but the minister or those who are called upon are called to lead the congregation. So when we pray as a congregation, you are to follow. You are to engage. You are to invest. You're called upon to be in agreement. Now, I know there's some churches, and at the end of a public prayer, the congregation say, Amen. Now, that's not what we do, but there's a sense in which you should be saying, Amen. It doesn't have to be verbal in order for it to be said. But when you pray, the words Amen, it means truly, it means let it be. It shows there is an agreement, a satisfaction. This is your desire and your concern. I can't see into anyone's heart. Of course I can't. I can't read your minds. I don't know when someone prays, or I can't tell if someone feels as if they're able to pray or feel fluent in prayer. But this I know, to some extent, I know when there is a spirit of prayer, where there is an attitude of prayer. I know what it is to lead a congregation in prayer and to feel hugely helped. I know what it is to lead a congregation in prayer and to feel conscious that I was not praying alone. But I also know the opposite. I know what it is to pray and to feel utterly alone and to feel as if no one was praying with me. Now, I might not have judged these situations perfectly. I may be wrong, and some of that may be my subjective reading. But I don't believe it's simply subjective reading. There's a story told about a minister who's a professor of Hebrew, and he was called Rabbi Duncan. Not Rabbi for Robert, but Rabbi for the Jewish leader, because he was so skilled in Hebrew. Rabbi Duncan was a spiritual man. And the minister of the congregation where he worshipped felt that he could tell in prayer if Rabbi Duncan was present or not. He felt that man, his prayerfulness, it assists me. And there was one day when the minister was leading the congregation in prayer, and he knew that Rabbi Duncan was due to be away from home. And yet, as he led the congregation in prayer, he felt strangely helped. So much so that he felt that it was as if Rabbi Duncan was present, and yet he knew that he couldn't be. And yet he said when he finished his prayer and opened his eyes, he saw that indeed Rabbi Duncan was there, that his plans had changed and the man was present. You see, you need to pray. You need to pray within the congregation. But also, you need to pray when you're alone. You need to take time to be alone in order to pray. Because if you don't take time to be alone in order to pray, you won't pray. Because there's distractions and because there's responsibilities. And I said that speech is one of the things that distinguishes man from the animals. And I believe that's true. But prayer is something that distinguishes the Christian from every other man. Prayer is a fundamental part of what it is to be a Christian. If you remember when Paul was converted in the road to Damascus, he was going there to destroy the church, and the Lord met him and he was changed, and he continued in his journey. When he arrived, the Lord spoke to one of the believers there and said, go and speak to Paul, or Saul as he was then called. That would seem to be an outrageous thing to do, to go to speak to this man who's come to persecute and to destroy. But this is what the Lord said to Ananias. He said, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. As a Pharisee, he would have said many prayers before. As a Pharisee, as a skilled Pharisee, as a learned man, he would have been proficient, he would have been articulate, he would have been impressive, no doubt, in speaking prayer. But something had now happened. This man had been converted. And the proof of his conversion was that he prayed. He cried to God. Prayer may be difficult. You may feel yourself greatly distracted. There may be times even when prayer is neglected. And yet, by definition, a Christian is someone who has prayed. Because a Christian is someone who has cried out to God, and that is prayer. And not only is a Christian someone who has cried out to God, but God has noticed. God has heard. God has answered that prayer. There's a sense in which prayer, it's a spiritual impulse, is a reaction to the revelation of God. It's the opposite of to deny Him, to dismiss Him. But it's a drawing near to God who has revealed Himself. You know, you can't approach God without addressing Him. You cannot approach God without addressing Him. Do you desire to pray? Maybe you're overawed with a sense of yourself and of your own inability, but do you not also have an awareness of God and a desire to seek the blessing of God? Do you not have a desire for that intimacy of being heard, of being received? You know, prayer can be, as it were, an eloquent composition. But maybe sometimes you've heard prayer which has sounded like an eloquent composition, and that intimidates you, and you say, well, I don't pray like that. I can't pray. If that's prayer, I'm nowhere near that. Well, prayer may be, to our ears, an eloquent composition. But you know, prayer can also be an inexpressible groan. Prayer needn't be an eloquent composition. Prayer needn't be impressive to any other man. We're told in Romans chapter 8 and verse 26 that the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. We're told there is a work of the Holy Spirit who takes the desire, the aspiration to pray, and intercedes for us. When I ask if you desire to pray, and when I ask if you do pray, I'm not asking you if you're satisfied with your prayers. That's an entirely different question. I'm not asking if there's been times and you've maybe given up on prayer before the point you've actually prayed. You know, sometimes prayer can begin in a formal way. Sometimes prayer is more of the habit than of the spirit. And sometimes, having gone through what might be a routine, we can rush on before actually we've drawn, as it were, truly into the presence of God. It's said that you are to pray until you pray. I'm not asking if you've given up too soon before. I'm not asking if you know the frustration of prayerless prayer. Prayer is not easy. In Ephesians chapter 6, it's linked with perseverance. It requires deliberate and determined effort. We have the picture in the Old Testament of Jacob, and he wrestled with God. And it was a physical struggle. And he couldn't overcome, but yet he wouldn't let go. And he said, I will not let go unless you bless me. You may struggle. But what I'm asking is, do you have this desire to pray that we'd find here expressed by one of our Lord's disciples? And we're told that when this disciple, we don't know which one, asked the question, he answered them all. I believe the reason he asked them all is because it was a concern they all had. You see, I believe it's a concern that all of the Lord's disciples have. Every believer has this concern. It's a desire to pray. But also implicit in this question is a dissatisfaction in prayer. I've alluded to that already. But it's implicit in this request, isn't it? Why did they ask the Lord how to pray? It's because there was a felt inadequacy. There was a desire, but there wasn't an ability to fulfill this desire. Not dissatisfaction with the Lord, but with one's ability to speak to Him appropriately. To speak to Him with liberty. To speak to Him with clarity. It's so easy to be intimidated when you hear other people pray, isn't it? The prayer meeting can be a special meeting. It can be a wonderful meeting of God's presence. And yet sometimes it can be a very intimidating meeting, particularly for men who might be called on to pray, because there's the temptation to compare yourself to others, and there's a temptation to be intimidated by others. Well, what is prayer? What is prayer? It's a crying out to God. It is speaking to God. It is revealing to God. It is confessing to God. Of course, it's not revealing to God something He doesn't know. God knows our innermost thoughts. He knows the secret intention of the heart. But it's an acknowledging of that. In the Catechism we're told, prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God for things agreeable to His will, in the name of Christ, with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of His mercies. It's an offering up of our desires unto God for things agreeable to His will, in the name of Christ, with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of His mercies. I think that answer helps us understand part of the difficulty of prayer. And that difficulty is submission and surrender. See, prayer is a offering up our desires for things agreeable to His will. And so in prayer, a part of that wrestling, a part of that battle, is for the person praying to bring their desires into conformity with the will of God. Prayer is not a way that we change God, that we change the purpose of God, that we change the heart of God. But in prayer we come and we see God as He reveals Himself. And we seek to find ourselves changed in drawing near. Dissatisfaction in prayer, it can come because of a difficulty in surrender, submission. It can come because of a difficulty in knowing the will of God. It's overwhelming. How do I know what to pray for? But that difficulty can also come through laziness, because prayer is hard work. It's not hard work to close your eyes and to let someone else pray. It's not hard work to close your eyes and to repeat a prayer. But it is hard work to enter in and to appear before God and to address Him. It is hard work to subdue yourself. It is hard work to focus your attention. You ever been in a house and you've gone in and the person is watching television? It's hard work to have a conversation, isn't it? When television is on, everyone's distracted. It needs to go off. Everything else needs to be shut down. And then you have a freedom. And there's a sense which in prayer, everything else needs to be shut off. All these distracting thoughts, all these concerns. Yes, there's a burden and there are concerns, but these burdens and concerns are to direct us in prayer to Him. Sometimes dissatisfaction in prayer can come because of sin. Psalm 66 and verse 18, it says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." That doesn't mean that the Lord won't hear sinners. We're all sinners. And the Lord hears sinners. But the Lord, we're told here, will not receive the cry of those who are regarding sin, who are desiring sin, who are trying to find a way to go on in sin. That's a mockery. It's a mockery of God. It's a pretense at prayer. Peter warns us, he says, "Husbands, dwell with your wife according to knowledge, giving honour unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." You see, when there's relationship discord, where there's trouble and strife, it's not just a problem with the husband, it's a problem with the wife. It's not just a problem for the married, it's a problem for us all. Where there's relationship discord, there's also that battle with unbelief, isn't there? It's a terrible thing even for the Christian to admit, but there is sometimes. These horrific thoughts of unbelief. It's not, of course, that you don't believe. But yet there are these moments. These overwhelming moments, it seems. Which then can distract from and prevent prayer. And the difficulty of putting prayer together. The difficulty of finding words, finding appropriate words. Do you have a desire to pray? And if you have that desire to pray, do you know anything of this dissatisfaction in prayer? Not dissatisfaction with the Lord who you call upon, but do you know something of dissatisfaction with your own prayer? Do you understand the request of the disciples? Maybe you're greatly discouraged today because of the dissatisfaction that you find in prayer. And yet, let me ask you, can you imagine someone who was entirely satisfied with their prayers? Can you imagine that? Someone who was confident, always confident, Someone who had no hesitancy. Someone who felt that they had prayed enough. Wouldn't that be a little concern? Wouldn't that be more than a little concerning? It would be alarming. Somebody who was so satisfied with the prayer that they had made that they felt no need to go on in prayer or to wrestle in prayer or to strive in prayer. If you have a desire to pray and yet you find a dissatisfaction in your prayers, that itself shouldn't necessarily discourage you. If you have no desire to pray, or if you think you've prayed enough and you have no concern, friends, that should alarm you. Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. What we have here is a desire, we have a dissatisfaction, but thirdly, what do we have? We have a dependence upon the Lord himself. Isn't that wonderful? Lord, teach us to pray. Here's my next question for you. What do you do when you feel dissatisfied in prayer? Do you give up and never pray again? Or do you cry out to God? Do you lament your inability? And do you commit yourself and your inexpressible desires and all the confusion and the burden into his care? That's what the disciples do. Lord, teach us to pray. Give us that liberty. Give us that freedom. Give us that unction. Hear us and help us. Surely this is an often repeated prayer. Lord, teach me to pray. And the Lord answers. And yet, you know what's interesting about the Lord's answer? Because verses 2 to 4, we have essentially the outline of the Lord's Prayer, as we call it. But what's interesting about that is that he had already taught them this. This is given in Matthew in the Sermon on the Mount, a different occasion from when he is speaking to the disciples now. And so the Lord, in answering the desire of the disciples, doesn't give them a new form of prayer as if the form that they had before was deficient, but he gives them the same form of prayer to say, listen, the form is sufficient. This model prayer, which can be used verbatim, as it were, you can repeat it, or it can be used as a framework so that you can expand under the different headings. But in answering with the same answer, I believe our Lord is saying, what you need is not new words, but it's new emphasis, it's new heart, it's new urgency. You cannot learn to pray by rote, by just mechanically repeating the word. That it may be made clear in Matthew 6 when the Lord said, when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. I remember one of the first prayer meetings I was ever at, hearing an old minister. And he said, Lord, you know how we love you. It's imperfect love, and that imperfect love is imperfectly expressed, and yet there's a confidence, isn't there? That the Lord knows. There's a delight in being able to acknowledge that, and yet there is a confidence that the Lord knows, and the Lord then is dealing with the intention, with the heart, with the very, very soul of man. That confession, Lord, you know that we love you. It is a confession, but it's an expression of dependence too. He's saying, Lord, I'm unable to express it, but my comfort is your gracious knowledge. Lord, teach us to pray. And we have three verses in which the Lord gives the form of the Lord's Prayer. But then we have nine verses from verse 5 through to verse 13. And you know what we have here? It's still teaching about prayer. It's not a form of prayer. It's not words to use in prayer. But it's the Lord speaking of the character and the mercy of God. He's doing so by comparison. And he tells a story. Imagine you had a friend. And you go to your friend's house and it's at night. And you ask your friend for something. And he's your friend. Your friend who would always do you good, but it's just inconvenient. And he's not going to help you tonight. He'll help you tomorrow. But if you keep knocking on his door, if you keep asking, eventually he'll just give it to you to get rid of you. Eventually, if you ask enough, this friend will answer you. And he's saying, well, if that's how a friend will deal with you, how much more will God, who hears your cry, and who is never selfish, who is never lazy, who's never in bed, who's never incapacitated, who's never disinterested, how much more will God hear your cry and provide for you? He says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. And he says, and you who are fathers, if your child asks for something, your son asks for something, of course you give him good things. How much more? How much more your Heavenly Father? And so the Lord, in answering the disciples' question, the focus of his answer is to speak about the character of God so that when we come with dependence, our dependence will be in him and who he is. Do you have this desire to pray? Do you have a dissatisfaction in prayer? And yet, do you depend upon the Lord? Because if you have this desire, and if you have this ultimate dependence upon him and not upon your own prayers, not upon your own performance, if you have this desire and if you have this dependence, you know, the day will come when you have no dissatisfaction at all. For the day will come when all your heart's desires, all that you long for, will be given to you, for the day will come when you will be in the very presence of God himself. And so, friends, pray. Pray. Pray without looking at your prayer, as it were, but pray looking unto him. Pray remembering him, considering him. For if you have this desire, praise God that you have this desire. And if you come with this dependence, depending upon his goodness and depending upon his mercy, the day will come where there is no dissatisfaction. Amen. Let's pray.